listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Welcome to the True Word of God. I am Apostle Vernon Whitaker with Pastor Betty Whitaker of First Church Fivefold Fellowship Ministries in Port St. Lucie, Florida. We want to welcome you to our show. Good morning. This is Chief Apostle Vernon Whitaker, along with my lovely wife, Apostle Betty Whitaker, and we are from First Church Fivefold Fellowship, and we're located in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Our new address is 2855 Brighton Street in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Phone number, you can call me on my cell at 561-718-2361. Our Sunday morning, our Sunday school start at 11 o'clock, and our Sunday morning service start at 12. If you're looking for a good home church, looking for the good word of God, please come and visit us tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. or 12, and come and praise and lift up the name of Jesus. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And that is our motto that we say every Sunday, and I truly believe that this is the day. I tell you what, everybody repeat after me. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I don't care what my enemy does to me. I don't care what I go through. I don't care what it feels like. Guess what? He can't steal my joy. Oh, so I'm just going to ask the audience out there, please pray for my lovely wife. She is home. She is under the weather. But I know that she's already healed in the name of Jesus. So that's why he was nailed to the cross. All we have to do is receive our healing, and we are healed. Yes, yes, yes. Somebody may be going through the same situation. But let me tell you right now, you already healed. All you have to do is believe it and receive it. I don't care what your body say. I don't care what the doctors say. I don't care what kind of report that you get. Just know that you are healed. And as long as you have faith, as long as you believe, and you got hope, guess what? You will be healed. And Jesus said, because of your faith, you are healed. So right now, I'm going to open up with a little prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father God, thank you, Lord, for our audience today, dear God, that somebody out there will hear this word and we'll be convicted, and the backslider will come back and our sin will be changed, dear Lord. Lord, let your spirit have a way. Let the spirit of God touch each and every one, God, and we thank you right now in Jesus' name. Amen. This truly is a good day. Amen. I thank God that he allowed us to wake up this morning, because this truly is the day I have never seen before. Whether it's raining or whether it's sunshine, guess what? I'm still going to have my joy. Oh, I'm going to be happy. Whether I got money or don't have money, whether I got food or don't, I'm still going to be. Why? Because I'm in Jesus Christ. I know on this earth I might have to go through some trials and tribulations. But yet and still, I know on the end, at the end of the race, I won't go through this no more. So I just thank the Lord that he thought enough of us this morning, that he stirred us up this morning. Because think about it, and be truthful about it, somebody went to sleep last night, had all the attention in the world, probably get up to go play golf or get up to cut the grass, or they were going to go fishing, or they was going to take the child to the playground. But yet when they laid down, they took their last breath. They didn't get up this morning. So now, while the Lord has allowed us to get up this morning, guess what we're going to do? We're going to praise him. Hi. Somebody say hallelujah. We're going to lift up the name of Jesus. Somebody say amen. Oh, God, I thank you. I thank you. Because we could have laid down. We could have been the one that laid down last night and didn't get up. But because I got faith in Jesus Christ, because I got hope of the calling that God has put upon my life, and I know that I got a work to be done. And as long as I'm doing my work, I think the Lord is going to allow us to continue to live until we come to the end. Like Paul says, I run a good race. I fight a good fight of faith. And that's what we're going to do today and continue on. We're going to fight a good fight of faith. We're going to run to the end and see what the end is going to be. And I already know what the end is going to be because I picked up my Bible and I read my Bible, and my Bible told me what my end is going to be. So if, just in case you don't know, You need to pick up your Bible and read it and see what your end going to be. So now, we know that how does faith come to a man? So once we get faith, how do we uphold man faith, or how do I uphold my faith in God and Jesus Christ? When I have required true faith, then I must keep this faith, and this faith must be strong, and it should uphold itself in the faith of my many, many trials, because there are going to be some trials and tribulation. And Jesus has already warned us and told us that the weapons were formed against you. See, we think sometimes that once we become into the body of Christ, and once we get believed and once we get saved, that we ain't going to have no more problems. Well, they kind of told me that everything was going to be all right, but they didn't tell me that Satan get mad with you when you want to live right for God. Satan get upset with you when you want to live right for God. Satan just want to hurt you. He want to take you out when you live right for God. So now, when these trials come up, and Jesus did say, the weapon will form, but it won't prosper. So that lets me know I got to go through something, but yet, as long as I have faith, as long as I got hope, as long as I believe on Jesus Christ, guess what? Those weapons will not prosper. They will not come to pass. They will not do nothing if we understand where we are. So we got to be in a position. We got to be able to know that it is just having faith and believing in Jesus Christ. So now when my faith, and I get strong in faith, and I face my trials, and when it comes to the way that when it reaches up my goal, this is the salvation of my soul. Now, the question is, how should a man who require the true faith in God and Christ uphold his faith? How can we uphold this faith? And we go to Galatians chapter 1 and verse 23, and Apostle Paul give us this advice. He said, if you continue in faith, grounded and settled, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard and which was preached to you every creature which is under the heaven, wherefore I, Paul, made a minister. So now, if we are true believers in Christ, we should never, never waver. Even the Bible tells us that a foolish man, you know, his faith is like an ocean, go to and fro. We should never have no misgivings. We should be continually deeply rooted and grounded in our faith and what we believe in. And I truly believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I truly believe that he died for my sins. I truly believe that he rose on the third day and sitting on the right hand of the Father. I truly believe that when he came, he gave us grace and mercy. I truly believe that Jesus Christ is the doorway to our eternal life, that we have peace, happiness, and joy. This is the faith, and this is what I believe in. So now, I'm not going to let no one come in and try to tell me otherwise. I'm not going to be devil-minded on Christ one minute, on the world the next minute. If you believe in Christ, then you need to stand on Christ. You need to hold firm. You need to be rooted. And you need to be grounded. You need to be settled in the word of God. No matter what anybody say, no matter what kind of other doctrine come about, no matter what kind of other teaching come about, I know who Christ is. I know my faith in Christ. I believe it. So now, this is where we got to understand. There are so many people today are being wavered. They own one doctrine, and then somebody's come with another doctrine, then somebody's come with another teaching. And we be all confused. We be all messed up in the head. We don't know which way to go. So now, once we get to be wavering, now I don't know which way to go. But if you stand on what you believe in Christ, no matter what they say, guess what? You'll never waver. You'll never falter. This is how I know that I'm grounded and rooted in Jesus Christ. Now, we got some folks that now they read their Bible and they study the word and they get deep into the word and they can articulate the word in such a way that make it sound good to your ears. And if you are not careful, they'll make you think that you're wrong. But long as you know the truth, and the truth ain't going to set you free, it will make you free. It's a difference between being said and made. Long as I'm made free, can't nobody come and change my mind because I believe it. So now, what is like to a believer who waver in his faith? And James in chapter 1 and 6, this is what he written. But let him act in faith with no doubting. That's where when you pray and you ask, and the minute you have doubt, that cancel out your prayers. Come on, somebody. You got to understand this thing. Jesus said, when you pray, you got to already receive it before you ask it. And once I receive it, then there's no doubt that I know it's going to come to pass. All I have to do is stand still and watch it come to pass. So now, when I ask in faith and I have no doubt, for he who doubts is like the waves of the sea, driven and tossed by the winds. You got to believe and have faith when you pray in faith with no doubt. There's a lot of people out there cancel out their own prayer because the minute they pray, they got doubt. Oh, I pray, but I don't know. I pray, but we might be healed. Or I pray, well, I don't know what he's going to be. You can't have that kind of doubt. You pray for healing. Say, I'm healed in the name of Jesus. That's all you got. Say, I'm healed. And keep on going. If you want to be delivered, say, I'm delivered from that alcohol. I'm delivered from the cigarette. I'm delivered from any situation. I'm delivered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And you got to keep on moving. You can't sit there and have doubt. Because every time you doubt, you cancel it out. And that's where the enemy wants to come in. He wants to put doubt in your mind. He wants you, when you pray, seem like God. You ever have prayed and seem like God ain't never moved? You ever prayed and seem like nothing that never happened? That's the enemy trying to put doubt in your mind. But you got to be able to sit there and stand there and be rooted and believe that it's already done. And watch the supernatural manifestation of the word of God come to pass in your life. And when it come to pass, that's the time to rejoice. That's the time to be happy. That's the time to shout. That's the time to tell everybody how good God is. You got a supernatural blessing. You can't be wavering because you're driven. And the wind will drive the waves, and doubt is what drives us. We have learned not to doubt when you pray, but turn it over and give it to the Lord. If you say you give it to Jesus, why pick it up again? Why worry about it? If you say he's the captain of your soul, if you say that he died for you and shed his blood, and you say ain't nothing impossible for him to do, but why would you give it to him now and you still worrying about it? Come on, something wrong with that picture. When you give it to him, let him have it. Then he say, come and put it at his feet. My yoke is light. Come on, somebody. Ooh, God. So why does the Lord hate this kind of believers? Tossed to and fro. Oh, my God. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. And that's James 1 and 8. It's hard to deal with somebody who's double-minded. I call them people who like that, bipolar. It's hard to deal with a person bipolar. You don't know how to address them the next day. You don't know whether they're on the good foot or they're on the bad foot. Sometimes they get so bad, you be scared to say anything to them because you don't know how they're going to react. You don't know what they're going to say. But God says he'd rather have you hot or he'd rather have you cold. He don't like nothing lukewarm because he'll spit you out. And lukewarm person is a devil-minded person. Don't know which way he's going. Either you with God or you against him. He can deal with you that way. Yes, he can. He can deal with you. But a person that's double-minded, you're a man. That's the hardest thing to do, to deal with somebody who's bipolar, don't know which way to go. They could be mad one minute, and next minute they'd be happy. You walk up to them and say something, you just set them off. Man, my God, you know, then you be scared. I don't know what to say to him. I don't know how to act. One minute you one way, and next minute, there's a whole lot of us out there who's bipolar. And we bipolar into Christ. There are so many Christians that I know, it's bipolar. And let me explain it to you so you can understand it. You come to church on Sunday morning. You sit there and you praise the Lord. Hallelujah, amen. I love my brother. Come on now. As soon as you step out the door, you want to cuss somebody out. You got a bad attitude. Go home and want to jump on your wife and act ugly. But yet, while you're in church, you act like you the best thing than the slice of bread. Well, you got all this holiness in you. Yeah, but then when you be by yourself, there's a whole lot of bipolar. There's a whole lot of still dealing with some issues in our lives. We still double-minded. We still wavering. I thank God that I don't waver no more. I thank God that I'm rooted in the ground. Yes, I used to waver. Go to church one minute and go to club the next minute. Come on, somebody. Let's be real with this thing. Go to church one minute and next thing I know, I got a beer in my hand. Come on, somebody. Oh, come on now. Some vodka and cranberry juice. Come on now. God had to straighten me out. I was driven to and fro. Couldn't wait to get out of the church to get to the club. Come on now. Let's get real with this thing. Being then, I'll be praising God one minute and think about going to the club, give me a drink the next minute. I'll sit right there in the house of God. Some of y'all still doing that. Come on now. Some of y'all still doing that. You're double-minded. You're waving. God, he don't like those type. So God had to put some fear on me. One time I was getting ready to go to the club and told my partner we was in church and said, look, man, I'm going to meet you to the club. I got to go. I got to be there at 8 o'clock. Preaching too long. You know how some of y'all can't stand 45 minutes of preaching. Preaching too long. So I got to go. Jumped in my truck and I'm on the churchyard playing my B.B. King. The thrill is gone. That was my favorite record. That thrill is gone. And I played it and I'm going down the road and going down the road. And all of a sudden I heard this voice say, you going to hell. Now this is a true story. I'm in my truck by myself. So I'm looking around to see if anybody in the truck with me. I ain't had nothing to drink, so I know I ain't drunk. And I turned my music up loud. Come on, somebody. Let's get real with this thing. And I heard it again over the music. You going to hell. This is plain as day. Right down in West Palm Beach on Palm Beach Lake Boulevard, I just slammed on brakes and made a U-turn and went back home. God was telling me that I was being double-minded. He can't stand a double-minded person. I need to change and come and serve him all the way. Come on now. All the way. If I'm going to be committed to Christ, let's be committed. If I got faith, I'm going to have 100% faith. I'm not going to have no 50-50. Only time I got faith and when I need something for Christ, when I'm sick, I got faith. But when I don't need nothing, I ain't got no faith. He hates this inability, this kind of man who acts as double-minded. What is God's instruction to those who are blessed enough to acquire strong faith? God has words for him to keep. Through Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ, in Jude 1 and 3, this is written. Dear friends, although I was eager to write to you about salvation we share, I found it necessary to write to you and urge you to continue your vigorous defense of the faith that was passed down to the saints once and for all. I'm encouraging somebody right now to defend your faith. Hold on to your faith. Don't let nobody cause you to waver. Don't let nobody cause you to be double-minded. If you say you believe in Jesus Christ, then let them know that you believe in Jesus Christ. You know, some of us, we say we believe in Jesus Christ, but yet when we get around those people in the world, we want to act like them. That's not defending the faith. If you say you believe you're a Christian, then act like you're a Christian. Regardless of what anybody says, Come on, church. Let's defend what you believe in. Everybody has to be defending their belief. Islam, they defending their belief. Buddhists, they defend their belief. Muslim, they defend their belief. Seems like we the only one who don't defend Jesus Christ. Seems like we the only one we trying to please everybody. You can't please everybody. I really defend my faith. I don't care where I go. I don't care what sin in. I'm going to let somebody know I'm a child of God. They can look at me strange in the morning. It don't bother me. They can talk about me. It still don't bother me. I know who I am. And I know whose I am. And I know who I belongs to. Why? Because I'm grounded. And I'm settled. And I'm sure about Jesus Christ. And if I'm sure about Jesus Christ, then I am sure about myself. I got confidence in what I preach. I got confidence in what I say. I'm not going to let nobody come in. I'm not going to let nobody come in and try to change my mind. Because I had read it for myself, saw it with my own eyes, believing in my heart, confessed it out of my mouth, who Jesus Christ really is. So, for a firm believer whose value is come to when it's when you really defend whatever is necessary by all means and all costs. When I first got into the gospel and I really, really got into the gospel and I really started defending Jesus Christ, it cost me a whole lot. It cost me some friends. Cost me some family members. Cost me some associates. They, when they see me come, they slam the door in my face. that's a shame, man. We used to go out and drink, have a good time. But now when I come, they want to talk about what we used to do. I ain't with that. I want to talk about Jesus Christ. So now they'll tell the children, tell them I ain't home. They treat you like you got a plague. That's okay, but I'm still defending the faith in Jesus Christ. I'm still going to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. So sometimes we got to count up the cost. And sometimes some of your best friends, I got a best friend right here in West Palm Beach. We don't talk like we used to talk. We don't associate like we used to associate because when we get there, I'm trying to get him on the right foot. I'm trying to get him on the right side. Amen. But he want to stay on the wrong side. I'm just trying to help him out. Just like I'm trying to help somebody out now. Somebody may be on the wrong foot, but we need to get on the right foot. We need to get on the right side. And the right side is with Jesus Christ. And the right side is having faith and believing in what you believe in. And holding on and be strong and be rooted in the love of Jesus Christ. And be filled with the Spirit of God. Don't let nobody cause you to waver, but you stick up to what you believe. And I believe what I'm preaching. And I won't stick to it till the day that I die. I'm going to stick to it till the last breath in my body. I'm going to tell somebody that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and Jesus Christ is the only way because I got confidence in the Word of God. And I'm going to stand by and see the supernatural manifestation of the Word of God come to pass because God has never lied to me yet. Everything that he says. And Judge 1 and 20 says, but you, dear friends, be continuous to build your life on the foundation of your holy faith. Continue to pray as you are directed by the Spirit of God. So we got to be able to continue, not continue when I need God, not continue when I'm sick, but continue when I'm happy, continue when I'm sad, continue when I'm well, and continue when I'm sick. The Bible says, in all things give God. I give God thanks for everything. Every headache I get, I say, Lord, I thank you. Every pain, Lord, I thank you. When I do get sick, Lord, I thank you. When I'm down, Lord, I thank you. It's in all things. So we got to learn how to continue so that we can build our lives. If you continue, that's the key to the whole thing. You got to continue when nobody else don't want to go through. But you continue. Anybody else want to fall apart, guess what? You continue. when everybody else want to change their mind and go back into the world. No, you continue. And when you continue, you building your holy faith, because the Spirit of God will direct you. He's not going to send you down the wrong path. If we was to follow the Spirit of God, right now, a lot of this stuff we get ourselves into, we'll never get into it, Sister Connie. If we just follow the Spirit of God, because every time you want to do so wrong, the Spirit tried to tell you not to do it, but yet you allow your flesh to come in and overrule the Word of God. We must be a firm believer, so that continues, so we can be strong in the faith and keep on praying. We got to keep on praying and keep on praying with the Holy Spirit that would help you. And Judges 1 and 2 says, keep yourself within the love of God. Wait for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ to give you eternal life. Our eternal life is in Jesus Christ. It's the only place we can get it. And it's not in Buddha. It's in nobody but Jesus Christ. It's the only way you're going to get eternal life. And Jesus explained it to you. I am the doorway. I am the light. I am the way. I am the bread. We need Jesus Christ in our life in order to have eternal life. We need him. So have faith, church. Believe. Be rooted. Be grounded. Be strong. And hold on to what God has given you. That's why I like that motto. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Because if God made it, then my joy is in that day. And once I get it, I will. I will. Not you, but I will rejoice. And when I'm rejoicing, I'm going to be glad in it. This is Chief Apostle Vernon Whitaker from First Church, 5-Fold Fellowship. Our new location is 2855 Brighton Street in Port St. Lucie, Florida. We right off of Gatlin Boulevard, right on the corner of Gatlin and Port St. Lucie Boulevard. Our Sunday school start at 11 a.m. Our morning service start at 12 a.m. So if you're looking for a good church and want to come and praise the Lord, come by. And let us all join hands as brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. And that we have faith and that we can overcome anything as we come together. Here we go. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is your chief apostle from First Church, 5-Fold Fellowship in Port St. Lucie, Florida. And I hope God will bless you today. And I hope you continue. And I hope that your faith will grow and you be strong and rooted in the Word of God. You be blessed. Thank you for listening to the True Word of God with Apostle Vernon and Betty Whitaker. I want to invite you to worship with us this Sunday at 11:30 a.m. We are located at 1689 Biltmore Street in Port St. Lucie, Florida. If you would like more information about our ministry or this program, you can call us at 561-718-2361. Join us next week at the same time for the True Word of God.
We bow down and worship. worship him.